On the Bookshelf with your host, Dave Doc Kirby.
As we kick off February, we've got a very special author with us today who is not only renowned as an author, but also as renowned as a physician. We're talking today to Dr. Augustus White III, whose new book is Overcoming: Lessons in Triumphing Over Adversity and the Power of Our Common Humanity. He was assisted with John Land and David Chanoff. Foreword is by Coach K. Krasnewski. This is from Post Hill Press. It is just out. Dr. White, thank you very much for joining us today on the Bookshelf.
Well, happy to be here. I've been looking forward to this.
You were the first African-American medical student at Stanford, the first Black surgical resident at Yale, the first Black professor of surgery at Yale, and the first Black chief of service at a Harvard teaching hospital. Did being in Tennessee prepare you at all for all of these opportunities that you were going to have to be the first person to do these things?
Well, I guess in part, that was certainly my life growing up as a kid. I didn't I started going away to school in the ninth grade and leaving Tennessee to go to school, but I was back there in the summers, and I essentially grew up there, and I guess I would have to say that in part, at least, that was part of my opportunity. It gave me certain, what should I say, experience, information, education, and it certainly helped me to be able to attend these other institutions as I went through my career. High school and right through the rest of my career and the rest of my life.
Yes,
but I lived and worked in the summers and went to school during the school year in Memphis, Tennessee, all the way up through grade nine, and then off to Massachusetts, the Northfield Mount Hermon School, where I finished my prep school years. In what was then an all-boys school, it's now a co-ed.
Your dad was a physician. You are the professor of orthopedics and medical education at Harvard Medical School and professor emeritus in the Harvard-MIT Division of Health Services and Technology. You've had the opportunity to see what it was like firsthand from your dad being a physician. When you went into medicine yourself, was he happy about it? Was he excited that you were doing the kind of work that he had done also? Did he have any warnings about the difficulties that you were going to face?
Well, actually, as it turned out, my dad, as you said, was a physician. He was a primary care doctor, general practitioner in Memphis. But he passed away when I was a young man. I was 10, and a young boy. I was 10 years old. I didn't know him much. I knew him a little bit as a 10-year-old, but I knew him more by his reputation as I was growing up, however. People would reflect. He said, you know, down south, an elder, the man, meets a young boy, said, boy, what are you going to be when you grow up? You know, that was always, I always got that question, and that's the way it is in that culture. And I said, you want to be a doctor like your dad? He was a good man. So anyway, I found myself saying, yeah, I want to be a doctor when I grow up. And part of that, though, was maybe a little bit intuitive in that as I think back on my own life and sort of try to analyze these things, I realized when I was a little boy playing, you know, cowboys and Indians or, you know, playing any kind of game where somebody got shot or got killed in the game, in our play, I would feel sorry for him. You know, I could continue to play and run around and so forth. But I remember, you know, in that fantasy, it included some empathy, I think. That's what I call it now. I just felt sorry. But I think that was part of my kind of an intuitive attraction to medicine or some other profession, perhaps, although I was never very much. Well, I went through the whole spectrum. I wanted to be a private detective. I wanted to be a minister, you know, all those things. But doctor was always on the list.
Right, right. Now, you also served in Vietnam as a captain and combat surgeon in the U.S. Army Medical Corps, and you earned a Bronze Star. Did the experience that you had in combat situations affect your decision to go into orthopedics, or did it flavor in any way the way that you were a physician from that point forward?
No, actually, I was, the way the thing worked out, I had completed my orthopedic training. Just as it worked out, I'd finished my orthopedic training, and within 2 weeks, went to Vietnam. And that was certainly very relevant and very helpful to me as a combat surgeon in Vietnam, and that meaning, you know, that I was not out in the field as a trooper, as a soldier surgeon, but I worked in an evacuation hospital, military, U.S. military hospital, in Quy Nhon, Vietnam. And that's where I was assigned because I was a fully trained orthopedic surgeon, just completed. And that's where I worked. And of course, that's very relevant and very useful in a combat area where you're taking care of wounded soldiers on a day-to-day basis, many, many of them as they sadly come into the evacuation hospital with every kind of injury you can imagine,
right.
But mainly mutilating injuries of one sort or another.
And we should talk a little about the book, too. Your life is interesting enough that we could do the whole 30 minutes just on the things that you've experienced. But all of these things that you did, all of these barriers that you broke, the opportunity to be the first African-American to be involved in all of these types of things, your combat experience, even your leper colony experience, all of these things gave you an understanding and a genuine empathy for people who overcame, because you had to overcome so much in your life, particularly at the beginning of your career. Your book has over 24 examples of people who overcame all sorts of difficulties. Some of them were physical trauma. Some of them were emotional trauma. Some of them were both. What got you interested? Did you know these folks? Were they former patients of yours or anything? Or how did you come to learn about the people that you featured in your book, Overcoming?
Well, it was quite a variety of should I say methods that they found their way that I found to meet them. Some of them were the way we put this book together. My two co-authors interviewed some of the patients and interviewed some of the individuals that we reported on. And I knew some of them, and therefore I interviewed, so to say, and provided narrative for some. And I actually, none were my patients per se. Some were my mentees, fellow colleagues, fellow physicians, and others were one or two just people that I met in life. But my friends had been impressed and knew some individuals that they had met in their lives and that they contributed a narrative to our collection, if you will, of various individuals. And as you say, the variety is quite substantial, and I think that's hopefully one of the messages of the book, that we are all very, 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 very different, and we all experience things in a variety of different unfortunate ways, and we all have major problems in our life somewhere along the way, but we are also very, very similar, and that's the other message of the book. As human beings, we are very similar, and we have various common resources in our minds and in our hearts as we go through life, and we can utilize those resources to help us to overcome, and the hope is that as people read the book, different people will see different things in the different individuals, but hopefully there'll be something in there that anyone can resonate with. Some people will resonate with and some will not. But where that happens, the common humanity that our minds and our souls are gifted with serves as a potential source of our resilience. And that's sort of the main message as I see in the book. And I was fortunate to be exposed to this common humanity by the way I experienced my life, I guess, but certainly my life in the leper colony, and certainly my life taking care of wounded combat surgeons, and my life dealing with issues of racism and other kinds of problems we see in the world, has kind of helped me to recognize that, once we try to make the skin incision in surgery, what we see beneath the skin is all pretty much our common humanity.
Right.
And that common humanity isn't just anatomic, but it's spiritual, it's intellectual, it's emotional. And therein is the source of a great resource that we have. And some of us are able to utilize that resource. By good fortune, that research helps us. And these individuals in the book are all screaming examples, some obviously very, very dramatic, wherein they resonated with their common humanity as they engage with others or as they work with themselves. And so we hope to share that. We hope to recognize these common human traits.
Said, sir. We are talking to Dr. Augustus White III, who is the author, along with John Land and David Chanoff, of Overcoming, Lessons in Triumphing Over Adversity and the Power of Our Common Humanity. It's from Post Hill Press. The 20 people that are interviewed for the book, the first one caught my attention. This was a fellow who was a high school wrestler in a particularly vicious match. He gets his neck broken, and there is the possibility, the very distinct possibility, that he will end up the rest of his life being a quadriplegic, kind of like Johnny Erickson Tata. His story has a different ending than hers. And that's a great way to start off the book, to say that sometimes we can overcome things, but there are other people through a lot of very, very hard work. But there are other people that you guys profile in the book that had situations that they couldn't overcome in the same way, but that they found a way through. Is that a pretty good way of saying it?
Very well. No, that's right. I mean, that's one of the options, as you just described, is that you can find a new life. You can build a new life. You can build a different life, or you can try. I mean, as we said, not everything works for everybody the same way, but that's one thing that happens, and one thing you can do. And I believe that's what you just alluded to.
Yeah, yeah. There we have people in here like Jim Pantelis, who was his wife was 6.5 months pregnant, and he was diagnosed with stage 3B non-small cell lung cancer, and he had never smoked or anything like that. And here he is thinking he's going to be a dad, and now he's got this to face. Josh Perry, who was a Down syndrome baby, who grew up to be a professional actor. Claudia Thomas, the first African-American woman to become an orthopedic surgeon. Pretty incredible people, and all of them had, like you say, different kinds of things to overcome and different ways of doing so. But the what unites us in reading and learning about them is these are people that overcame in their common humanity, figuring out a way through and having friends and faith in some cases, and having people to encourage them and to support them, family members, physicians that supported them and helped them deal with them. Of all the 20 that are in the book, which is the one that you thought was, maybe this is an unfair question, that you thought was the most extraordinary? The young man who was one of the lost boys of the Sudan, it's kind of my vote for that situation.
Yeah, gosh, it's funny you ask that, because I haven't thought of that. I really haven't. I've gone through it all. Of course, I don't know if my, 30 seconds now will pull it out or not. Let me just see what some of the ones that had very powerful resilience. no matter what you did, they just bounced back.
Yeah.
I think Herman Williams.
Okay.
That had all the heart disease.
Yes.
He was working in a highly competitive, highly demanding role. He was hit hard. He was hit very, very hard by his disease and when it, you know, what he, in contrast to his ambition. But I don't know. I'll have to think more about that. I don't feel too good about giving anybody the first choice award.
Okay.
But I think if I had to, I think right now I'd say Herman Williams, the guy who was the wanted to be an orthopedic surgeon,
right,
and was playing a pickup basketball game, and had a substantial heart attack, and wouldn't have survived that, but for the fact he was lucky enough to be playing with some anesthesiologists who were able to resuscitate him and save his life. And then he went on to have a series of tremendous heart diseases, heart problems and operations, and has gone on to live a very successful life as a consultant. And but they're all, so many of them are. I think the thing that impressed me by some of them is no matter what you did to them, how you knocked them down with what you knocked them down with, they just bounced right back up and did it a different way, did something else, got some help from someone who was able to stand by them and give them inspiration and encouragement, advice, and so forth. It was really inspiring to me to read these narratives and think about them.
The one who Tom Katina was the only doctor for 400 square miles in the Nuba Mountains. Right.
Yeah.
That was pretty interesting. I felt like that you could understand what that's like being a doctor and feeling a sense of being overwhelmed because you have patients who are in difficult situations and you're trying to help them, and you would certainly know what this kind of thing would feel like to go, wow, what would it be like to be the only person that anybody could call on for any reason whatsoever in 400 miles. That's a situation to overcome, isn't it?
Yes, sir. And not to mention also with that, the volume of the amount of surgery that he did. He did surgical interventions, surgical cases, and with I'm sure help that he had to train himself.
Yes.
And it takes well-trained people to help you do surgery. But he just did reams and reams of surgery. And I've enjoyed. I won't say I got to know him, but I met him a few times, and I like him. I greatly admire him, and I predict he's going to win the Nobel Prize somewhere in the future for the work if he stays there. But the volume, the work under such overwhelming odds is just amazing.
I was inspired by the story of Bobby Satcher, who was let me find it here. I remember the name. I'll look it up in the front. Here we go. African American orthopedic surgeon and NASA astronaut. His story is exciting and encouraging. The things that he overcame as well.
Yes. He was one of my mentors, as was Herman Williams, actually. Herman Williams was a mentee, rather, not a mentor.
Okay.
And Bobby Satcher was a mentee. He was a Harvard medical student, and he wanted to be an orthopedic surgeon. And he came into my office. He made an appointment, and he came to my office, and he said, "Well, Dr. White, I just wanted to meet you, and I'd like to be an orthopedic surgeon, and I understand it's very difficult, and I just wanted to meet you and talk to you. Maybe you can give me some advice." So I said, "Well, tell me how you're doing in school." And he said, "Well, I'm getting, in medical school." I said, "How you doing?" He said, "Well, I'm getting honors in most of my grades." At that point, the school didn't give ABC. They gave honors or passing.
Gotcha.
And I was getting honors. And he said, at MIT, I said, "MIT?" He said, "Yes, at MIT." I said, what about MIT?" He said, He said, "Yeah, I'm also going to MIT and getting a degree."
Wow.
And he was very shy, very soft-spoken. Not shy, but very soft-spoken. And I said, well, how are you doing at MIT? He said, well, he said, I occasionally I get a B, but mostly A's. I get an A's in all my courses. So my office isn't that large, but I got up and I walked over to him and I shook hands with him. I said, you know, not only can you get an orthopedic residency, as far as I'm concerned, you are a national treasure.
Yeah, that's the truth.
And that's true. I mean, it's just quite. Occasionally, I have the joy of telling a student someone that. And what I mean is, you know, all the wonderful things that he has done and is doing makes him a national treasure. And if you add to that picture that he's African American, and you add to that picture how greatly important and useful his impact will be, and you put all those things together, he's a national treasure. You know? So that was my experience with Bobby Satcher. But it's amazing that he could, during his career, he didn't really have to interrupt his career very much at all. I mean, he's gone on to become an associate professor, and he's an oncologist in MD Anderson, the top cancer institute. One of the very, very top in the country, and just a very nice young man. It's amazing.
That's one of the great stories that we'll find in overcoming lessons in triumphing over adversity and the power of our common humanity from Post Hill Press. We're talking to the author, Dr. Augustus White III. There are others, and we could spend a couple of hours talking about all the others, the people that lost a child to disease, who lost a child to a violent event, lost a limb, a young teenage girl who lost her arm from the elbow down, people who are dealing with post-traumatic stress disorder from what life has handed them, and in another case, what combat had handed them. Certainly a situation you would understand very well. Just all kinds of people, refugees and so forth. All of these folks, you read their stories. Quite honestly, if you're like most of us who have some things to overcome, but not what these folks have to overcome, every once in a while, we get a little pity party going. That's when you need to pick up this book and read a chapter and go, oh, yeah, right. I guess my life is pretty doggone wonderful after all. I ought to thank God today that I haven't had to have these kind of challenges to overcome, and thank God that these people did, and that we can learn from them about strength and courage and common humanity. I think it makes for a great book for reading any time of the year. I'm really glad that we had a chance to talk about it today. And I know that there are so many wonderful stories that you could tell us. And
well, we're trying to make people aware of the book, and I certainly would be grateful. I appreciate that very much. And obviously, you've read it very thoroughly, and you've appreciated it, and
yes,
you are able to share it in a way that it's likely to be helpful to others. So I'm happy to know you're interested in that. By the way, do you want to tell me what you are a doctor of?
Oh, well, that's just a nickname. I do teach in the Hall School of Journalism and Communication at Troy University, but I'm about the only member of the faculty that doesn't have an actual PhD. Yeah, I got nicknamed after Doc Severinsen because I'm a trumpet.
Oh, okay, good. Well, I'm a jazz fan, so I enjoyed that.
Yes, sir. Well, it has been a great privilege to talk to you today. Do we want to mention websites or anything like that? We can always add that stuff in later. But if you, off the top of your hand, have your website or a website about the book, we'd be glad to let folks know where they can go to find out more information.
Well, thank you for offering that, but I don't have that at my fingertips.
Okay.
But Amazon, of course, if they want to. It will be published, actually. I do know this. On the February 9th, I think. It can be retrieved from Amazon at that point, anyway.
Excellent.
But, yeah.
All right. So this interview will run on the 7th. So 2 days later, Tuesday, the 9th, the book will be available across the board at online and at bookstores everywhere. So people need to look for Overcoming: Lessons in Triumphing Over Adversity and the Power of Our Common Humanity, from our guest today, Dr. Augustus White III, also with John Land and David Chanoff, and it is from Post Hill Press. And I'm thinking, folks, if you go to posthillpress.com, you might find out more about the book as well. I'll check that out and make sure that's a valid one. Dr. White.
Well, thank you for that, Dr. Kirby.
Yes, sir. Dr. White, it's been a great honor. Thank you so much for making time to talk to us today. Thank you for the terrific book, and may God continue to bless you. I know that you've had a long and fascinating and at times difficult life, and I thank you that you took the time to share that with us today.
Well, I've enjoyed it, and as I said, this was my first such interview following the book, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. I hope the others are half as good. At least.
Well, thank you very much, sir.
All right. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
All the best to you.
Thank you, sir. You too. Once again, we've been talking to Dr. Augustus White III, the author of Overcomers: Triumphing Over Adversity and Our Common Humanity. It's from Post Hill Books. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll see you next week right here on your favorite radio station and podcast. Until then, I'm your host, Dave Doc Kirby. Thanks for listening, and God bless. Every Sunday at 9:30 on FM 94.7 and at 11:30 on AM 970 and FM 96.3, here's some of the best authors in America today discussing their new books. On the Bookshelf, an exclusive presentation of the News and Public Affairs Department of WTBF. You've been listening to On the Bookshelf, a presentation of the News and Public Affairs Department of Troy Broadcasting Corporation's since 1991. This is our 30th year on the air.